Folks, we'll make a start to the midweek service tonight. And tonight is a special emphasis upon our children's work. We'll sing 689. When mothers of Salem, their children brought to Jesus, the stern disciples drove them back and bade them depart. But Jesus saw them ere they fled, and sweetly smiled and kindly said, "Suffer, little children, to come unto me." By in prayer, seek the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to the house of God in this beautiful evening. The sun is shining and there's joy in our hearts in the knowledge of sins forgiven. We come to your presence now, to the one who is seated upon the throne of eternal glory, and we come in worship and praise and adoration. We fall before thee and we acknowledge thee as our God and our Saviour, the one who has redeemed us unto himself, called us in grace, made us his own. We thank you that we are thine by covenant, we're thine by the new birth, and we're thine by adoption into your family, and we're thine by the blood of the Saviour. We thank you that Christ came into this world to take away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. And Lord, we come to thy presence now seeking for the grace and the help of God. We pray for a good meeting, for a conscious sense of the presence of the Lord. Rid us of anything of a hindering nature, anything that would choke up the blessing, that would prevent the Lord from coming near to each wailing heart. Indeed, wash us afresh in the precious blood of the Saviour and make us fit to be here in the place where your word will be opened, in the place where we draw near to the throne, where we enjoy fellowship the one with the other. Bless your people that are here. Bless those that cannot be with us tonight. Remember those that are joining us on the internet. And we pray that they will know blessing just where they are, and blessing where we are gathered here tonight. We thank Thee for the children's work of our church, and what a joy it is to be able to sing about that beautiful incident in the life of Christ whenever He bid the children to come to Him in a time when the disciples didn't have the interest that they should have had. When they told the parents and the guardians of the children to go away, yet the Lord said, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." We thank you for the love and the compassion that our Saviour had for the children of his day. And Lord, we know that he still has that same love and compassion at the right hand of the Father as he looks down into this world, as he visits us by his Spirit. We thank you that your eye is always upon your people, and your eye is especially upon the children. And Lord, we thank you for the ministry of the children's work in this church, raising up teachers, giving to us our superintendent who will speak later. We thank you for all the workers in Youth Challenge. We thank you, Lord, for those that are involved in every aspect of children and youth work in this congregation. Praise you too for the open doors that you've given to us, even into the community, into schools, and for Greg going to Cocroe on Wednesday, for the opportunity that we'll have tomorrow to visit a school. Lord, go before us in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. And Lord, may this congregation ever be a people that has a view for the children, a burden in their heart, that we will do all we can to promote the gospel among the upcoming generation, the men and women of tomorrow. So dwell with us tonight and do us good. Bless Wesley as he speaks, and Lord, help us as we bring a message later on. Do us good tonight as we come here. May the power of God be felt and known in our midst for Jesus' sake. Amen. Warm word of welcome to all that have joined us and to those that are tuning in on the internet. We're glad to see you. Could I remind you, Youth Fellowship members, 8 o'clock tomorrow night is the questions and answers night, and it's going to be held in the fellowship area. So the panel, looking forward to that immensely. Saturday morning, we're running again with the open air. We did have to postpone it 1 week, but we're running with it at 11 o'clock in the centre of the town. Pray for it, please. Next Lord's Day, we gather for the early time of prayer. That's at 8 o'clock. The Sunday school is at 10:30. The Bible class at 10:45, as Phil brings the next message on the free church. The worship service at 12 noon. We are still in Mark. We will be there for a little time. And we will preach in the will of God on lessons on humility. So that's really the next major section in Mark chapter 9. Pray as we bring that message that God will search out our hearts and bless us. Gospel meeting at 7, preceded by the time of prayer. Can I mention the ladies' fellowship? Want to be in prayer for Larissa, who's going to preach the word. Going to give her testimony, I think. And for the Ukrainian ladies who will sing. That's Wednesday the 7th of June. I have another very special announcement that I want to make, and it is to do with a special season of prayer to remember our families before Almighty God. And as a session, we've set aside Thursday the 15th of June at 10 o'clock. So this is a special time. We're not putting it into one of the regular seasons of prayer. That Thursday night is our prayer meeting and Bible study. We will come as normal, 8 o'clock. We will finish around 9:30. For those that wish to go home, they can do so. For those that wish to go home and come back again, they can do that too if you're local. And for those that just want to wait until 10 o'clock, we're going to start that prayer time. And it's really to pray for those in our families who are in need, particularly the unconverted children, sons and daughters, other family members, and just to bring their case before the Lord in a very special fashion. So that prayer meeting will last as long as the Spirit of God is with us. We're thinking about 10 o'clock, maybe till midnight or so. But if you can only stay an hour or whatever, that's fine. You can go home. Or if you can come later and join us, the church will be open, God willing, for at least those 2 hours. The Ballymoney show is the 2nd and the 3rd of June. And if you can get involved in this, we'd appreciate that too. We trust that you will. And give John help and encouragement all you can. Now we're looking forward to the report tonight from our Sunday school superintendent. And Wesley is with us. He missed out on this, can't remember how long ago, but it was months ago. And we're glad that he's here tonight to bring the report on the Sunday school. And we welcome him in the Saviour's name. We will release you and let you go. All right.
Well, I'd like to thank Reverend Park for the opportunity to come and to tell you something about the work in our Sunday school and the encouragements that we've been having and how the Lord has been blessing and the work amongst the boys and girls. Now, I was to be here back, I think it was the beginning of December, maybe the end of November, and I was planning to be here right up until about 7 o'clock, and then my wife overruled me and told me that I wasn't allowed to go because I wasn't feeling well, and she won the battle, and I had to stay at home. And I phoned Philip at 7:15, and he very kindly stood in at the last minute. Helen proved to be right, because I ended up in hospital the next day and spent most of December and quite a bit of January there. And on that, I just want to thank everyone for their prayers during the time that I wasn't well. I really appreciated the prayers of God's people during that time. And I want you to know, and I want to thank you for that. And I'm back now to almost normal, probably as normal as I'll ever be, and enjoying much better health. But we're here tonight to talk about our Sunday school. And, 2020 was a very difficult year for a Sunday school superintendent. In fact, it was the most difficult year I think I've ever had, because church went into lockdown. We had no Sunday school, and I love speaking to boys and girls much more than I enjoy speaking to you adults, but anyhow. But it's very different when you're actually speaking to a camera or speaking to a phone. You can't interact with them in the same way. But for a period of time, that was what myself and lots of the other Sunday school teachers had to do as we conducted our online Sunday school. And that Sunday school did give us opportunities to reach people that we normally wouldn't reach. We had families in England, Scotland, down south, right over Northern Ireland, who tuned in and listened to those messages. And in fact, I was at a funeral recently, and a man came over to me and he said, "Are you Wesley Macaulay?" And I said, "Yeah," I didn't know what was coming next. And he said, "I just want to thank you and thank all the teachers in Ballymoney for the online Sunday school. Our family," they lived in Fermanagh, he said, "our family listened in every week." So the online Sunday school, while we found it very difficult, I believe it was a blessing to a certain number of boys and girls. And we came back from our Sunday school, our online Sunday school, and come back into Sunday school again. And I remember going out that Sunday morning, and Helen said to me, "How many do you think will be there?" And I said, "Well, if we get 40, I'd be really happy. If we had 40 boys and girls back, I think, parents are going to be a bit nervous about sending their children back." But that Sunday, we actually had 90 boys and girls at Sunday school the first Sunday. And it was such an encouragement, such a blessing. So we got back to normal, and now we've got about 120 kids on the roll. We have about 100 here most weeks, sometimes 95, and we are encouraged by what God has been doing. Just to give you a bit of a run through, we have 18 classes, and we have all our classes now, photographs of all our classes on the board. So 18 Sunday school classes and then junior Bible class. So you can have a wee look on your way out and see all the happy children and the happy teachers. 24 teachers and helpers work in our Sunday school. We have 6 bus drivers. I'll say something more about the teachers in a moment, but we have 6 bus drivers. We really appreciate the work that Jonathan and Philip and Sean and Alec and Mervyn and Noel do each Sunday morning, going out and bringing the boys and girls in. And the young ladies that go with them to help them, we really appreciate their work as well, keeping the children in order on the buses. So I thought I would run through the list of our teachers and the classes that they teach, because this would enable you, give you a better insight into who to pray for and what each teachers do. And so I'm going to do this very, very quickly. Reception is taken by Julie and Linda. That's the little ones that yet are not at school. Class 1, that's P1. We align with the school classes. So Sharon looks after P1. Rhonda, we have two classes in Primary 2. Rhonda Glenn and Jane Blair. Two classes in Primary 3, Rebecca and Andrew. One class in Primary 4, taken by Marlene. And then Class 5, Joanna and Elaine. Again, two classes there. And year 7, Melanie and Samuel look after them. And then class 8, which is first year at high school, is Hugh and Irwin. And then class 9, year 9, Anne Robinson. And class 11, we have two classes there, Ryan and Jonathan. And then our junior Bible class is taken by Victor. So then we have something that many other churches can't say they have. We have got Ukrainian classes, and we're very blessed to have the Ukrainian boys and girls with us. And Pastor Valentin takes the senior ones, and Larissa, Anastasia work with the junior ones. And in the past, up until recently, Karen has been working with those kids as well, helped by Tanya, and also helped by Katrina and Elisa. So, we're really privileged to have International Sunday School. So what do we teach? That was a list of our teachers, but what do we actually teach? Well, we teach Christ, and that is the most important thing. We teach the boys and girls that they are sinners, that they need God's salvation, and, you know, that they can have the peace and joy that salvation brings for all eternity. We teach them about heaven, what a wonderful place that is. And we also tell them about the awfulness of a lost eternity. But in order to help us to do this, we have teaching materials. And, of course, the most important thing that we teach them is God's Word. The scripture verses and passages and the books of the Bible in their order. We also use the Child's Catechism and the Shorter Catechism to teach them the doctrine of God's Word. And can I say that if you haven't come through our Sunday school, there's no better way of learning the doctrine of God's Word than the Shorter Catechism. It's worth getting one and having a read through it, because the questions and answers there, they're concise, they're good, and they will teach you the doctrine of God's Word. We use two books. One is called Leading Little Ones to God, and the other is Lessons for Life. And these help the teachers with their structure and what they actually, lessons they do on a week-to-week basis. The teachers are also involved in activities outside of the Sunday morning classes. We have a monthly prayer meeting. It's a really good time of prayer. My heart has been blessed. Many is a Monday evening as our teachers meet together to pray, not just for the Sunday school work, but also for Youth Challenge and for the day school and the other outreaches to children. We also go on door-to-door outreach, giving out these wee little invitations, inviting boys and girls to come in. And we've had some really good contacts on the doors. Other activities that we have outside of Sunday morning is our Back to Sunday School barbecue. And that helps to meet the boys and girls before we go back in September and meet the parents. We have Children's Day, Sunday School Social. Bring a Friend Sunday was something that we introduced new last year. And that Sunday the children were invited to bring their friends. And we had 26 new children in Sunday school that morning, and they all got donuts and cookies and juice, etc., to reward them. We have our annual outing, our Christmas party, and again last year we organised our Sunday school football tournament when we got all the boys and girls up to the Riata Centre. We had a football tournament, and our teachers all had teams, and we had a really good time. Lots and lots of parents there, and we had an opportunity then at the end to share the gospel with them. In a couple of weeks' time, we're having another event that will help us to get to know the parents better. That's a Meet the Parents coffee morning. So while the children are in Sunday school, we'll invite the parents to come in and have a cup of coffee, and we will get an opportunity to talk to them as well. And then our Sunday school camp, we have something more to say about that in a minute, but it is a big event in our Sunday school calendar. Here's a few photographs, we'll run through them quickly. This was from our Bring a Friend Sunday. You can see the donuts going down there. Well, our football tournament, lots of action. And there we are there. There's Ivor refereeing. He was one of our referees. Although this next photograph maybe is a bit concerning, because it's interesting that both the winning captain of the winning team and Ivor both supported Liverpool, so there may have been something going on there, so we'll have to investigate that. Sunday school camp, these girls and Reuben are heading to do up the climbing wall, so lots of activities go on at Sunday school camp. We went canoeing, and this, I think, was the favourite, where we got all dressed up in army kit. It was certainly the pastor's favourite. We got all dressed up in army kit, and we went and we started to shoot each other. So it was lots of fun. Thankfully, there were no bullets in the guns. But here, they're looking at the plan of the campsite and deciding where they're going to attack from. And here's some, well, girls, I think it is. They were the wickedest, really. But the best part of Sunday school camp is when we have our meetings with the children. And we meet, and there's a little church there, a little church building, and we have like a children's meeting. We have a devotion time in the morning and a children's meeting in the evening. And it has been really, really good. And this year, great encouragement was that two of our children came to know the Lord. Two little boys came to know the Lord at Sunday school camp. One boy came and told me after one of the meetings that he had asked the Lord into his heart the previous night in his bedroom at camp. And that was a tremendous encouragement to me. And then the next day, we were just packed up. Buses were packed to come home, and we decided to go for a walk on the beach. And while we were walking along the beach, a little boy came to me and said that he wanted to ask Christ into his heart. And there, just on the beach, along with Elaine, we were able to talk to him and tell him, explain to him what it meant to be saved. And he prayed there and asked Christ to save him. And that was tremendous. And you know, the next picture is maybe a bit unusual, but I don't know whether you can see this or not, but this is a stone. And it's a very, very special stone for me. I keep it in a very special place at home. And if you can see, scribbled on that stone are the words, "Thank you." And the little boy that got asked Christ into his heart on the beach that day came to me at the end of the camp, and he reached me this stone. And he had written on it, "Thank you." And you know, they say something can bring tears out of a stone. Well, that stone brought tears out of me. And, it's a very special thing. But really, we want to give thanks to God. He is the one that we should be thanking. And, you know, we can say in Matthew 21 and 42, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes." You know, God is working in our Sunday school. This year, we've seen 8 children come to Christ. And even since I was supposed to come to speak to you last time, since then, two other children have come and trusted Christ. And so we are encouraged by what God is doing, but we do believe that the end is not yet, and there is much more to come. Now, I want to just to take a couple of moments, and I hope the Reverend Park doesn't mind me intruding in his time, but there is a couple of things that the Lord has laid in my heart, and I just want to speak to you about. And I would like to read a couple of passages very briefly. One from Mark. Mark chapter 16, verses 14. Just these three verses. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And then I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 14, and I want to read a couple of verses there. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 and 23. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. You know, back in October, Helen, myself, and the two boys went over to London for a few days. And while I was there, I had the privilege of being able to go to the Metropolitan Tabernacle, which is C.H. Spurgeon's old church. The current pastor there is the Reverend Peter Masters. And I was able to go there, and while we were there, I got talking to one of the Sunday school superintendents in that church. And they have a massive Sunday school. They've got 600 kids that they reach every Sunday. Some of them are in outreach Sunday schools, but the majority of them are in the church. And I had a really good conversation with him, spent quite considerable time with him, and he was talking about the work, and we were comparing what we were doing here, what they were doing over there. And he stressed something to me, and it really struck me. He said, you know, he says, it's so important to have an evangelistic Sunday school. It's so important to evangelize children. You know, he says that we have so many Sunday schools in this city, he says, and they teach the boys and girls, and they teach them God's word, but he says they don't apply it. They don't tell the children of their need of Christ. You know, he says, really, they're teaching the Bible as a history lesson. And I came back thinking of how important that was and how thankful we are that we have an evangelistic Sunday school where we reach out and we tell boys and girls their need of a Saviour. And, you know, just over 40% of our children in our Sunday school here come from homes where their parents are not saved, come from unsaved homes, come from outside the congregation. So we do reach out to them. But why is it so important to evangelize children? Why is it so important to be evangelistic, telling them of their need of Christ? And I came back to our Sunday school teachers, and I spoke at the next Sunday school teachers' prayer meeting, and I gave 10 reasons why it was important to evangelize children. And I want to share 5 of those with you tonight. Time doesn't permit to go down the whole list of 10, but I do want to share 5 of them with you. And the very first one is very, very simple. God commands it. You know, we've read in the passage, the first passage that we read, that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't say just the adults. It doesn't say just those over a certain age, but every creature. And that includes the small, the tiny, the young creatures as well. And so if we don't reach our children, then we are not obeying the command of God. Christ himself said, suffer the little children. We were singing about it earlier. Suffer the little children to come unto me. And so it's our duty as believers to reach out and evangelize the children in our town, in our Sunday school, and our families. The second reason is that children's work or Sunday school work is the most fertile mission field that we could sow the gospel seed in. You know, I'm sure if you bring together any gathering of believers, the majority of people come to Christ before the age of 20. Either when they're, many of them come to Christ before the age of 10, but many of them when they're teenagers, when they're young. And you know, young people, children, that is the most fertile mission field. You know, we read about the sower going out to sow the seed, and some fell on good ground. And if you were a farmer and you had a field that was fertile and good, you'd want to sow the seed in that field before you would sow it in some stony, hard place. And so it's important that we sow the seed of the gospel in that fertile ground. The other reason is that we need to have children saved early in life so as they can glorify God throughout their whole life. You know, we teach the Shorter Catechism. The first question in the Shorter Catechism says, what is man's chief end or man's chief purpose in life? And it is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And so a child that is saved at 6 or 7 or 8 has their whole life to glorify God. And so by evangelizing children, we bring more glory to Christ. And so that's the third reason. But the fourth reason is really a reality check. You know, children die. Adults die, but children also die. And those children that are over the age of understanding, if they die without Christ, they are lost. You know, in the last 6 months in the United Kingdom, 1,300 teenagers died suddenly. You know, I just wonder how many of them had actually heard the gospel. How many of them actually knew Christ as their Saviour? And so it's important that we evangelise our children. You know, the last one is another one that might be fairly obvious, but when we evangelise children, we reach the parents and the homes of the children. So often you've heard of a little one going home and witnessing to their unsaved parents and that being the means of bringing conviction to the heart of that parent. If you think of the little maid in Naaman's day, how that little girl, she might have been insignificant, but she went into the house of her master, and it was her witness that led Naaman in coming to know God. And so here's 5 reasons why it's important to evangelise our boys and girls. So we've had an overview of our Sunday school, we've talked about the importance of evangelising our children. And lastly, I want to speak just for a couple of minutes about what you can do to help in our Sunday school work. A number of years ago, I went to a funeral. I tend to go to a lot of funerals for some reason, but I went to a funeral of a really godly little lady in her town. She didn't belong to this church, she belonged to another church. But this little lady had quite a large family, and she saw each one of them brought to Christ. And not only that, she also saw many of her neighbours and her those that lived around about her. She witnessed to them and saw them won for Christ as well. And I remember at the funeral service, the pastor saying, you know, what was her secret? And you know, it simply was that she always made time to pray. And the story was told of how even when that family went away on holidays, she shut herself in the bathroom of the place they were staying and prayed, and the family were able to hear her praying outside. You know, I never forgot that story and the importance of making time to pray, and in particular, making time to pray for our Sunday school. You know, that's a great example, that little lady. But an even better example is found in the passage that we read here of Christ, and how after a busy day, in the previous verses you can read about how busy he was. The day started with the news coming of John the Baptist being beheaded. The disciples came and told him that John, who was his second cousin and the forerunner of his ministry, had been killed. And then after that, Christ went on and he not only preached to, but he catered for a crowd of 5,000 plus. And so he had a really busy day. But even after that day, Christ made time to pray. And he went apart. He sent the multitude away. He sent the disciples away. Those that were even close to him, he sent them away. And he went apart on his own up into a mountain. And I can picture Christ with a cloak wrapped around him that evening, going up that mountain, up that path, up to that place where he would be alone and he would be able to pray. And you know, I just think that as a congregation, we need to make time to pray for our Sunday school work, for our children's work, for our day school, for all the work amongst our young people. I know many of you do pray, and I really appreciate that. I know that many of you carry the burden of the Sunday school work to the Lord regularly in prayer. But you know, we need to be like Christ. We need to set that time apart. And I don't know what Christ prayed for. It doesn't tell us here. On other occasions, such as in his high priestly prayer, we know what Christ prayed for. And in Gethsemane, we know what he prayed for. When he taught the disciples, we know the Lord's prayer. But here it doesn't actually tell us what he prayed for. But I can imagine that he prayed for the troubled family of John the Baptist. That family, I'm sure, were going through a difficult time. And, you know, we need to pray for our boys and girls. Many of them are going through difficult times. Not all our children come from happy homes. Many of them come from broken homes. Some of them have difficulties at school. Perhaps some of them are even bullied. Some of them may have mental health issues. There are lots of children out there with difficulties, and we need to bring them to the Lord in prayer. You know, perhaps Christ prayed for the multitude. I'm sure he prayed for that multitude that he had spoken to. You know, not only did he feed them physically, but he fed them spiritually. And you know, we have a multitude of boys and girls in Ballymoney. Multitude. You know, I was counting up today, and I'm sure there's probably close to 5,000 children, and it's within a reachable area of us. Maybe not directly in Ballymoney, but in the outlying areas. And you know, we need to pray for them. We need to reach them, and we need to pray for them. We need to pray for their salvation. And you know, no doubt he prayed as well for his disciples. They were in a boat. They were being tossed by the waves. Wave after wave was hitting that boat and rocking it. They were in a storm. But you know, Christ was up on that mountain alone and he was praying for them. The disciples were the ones that were close to him. They were like his family. You know, we need to pray for our families. Even those that do know Christ as their Saviour. You know, their boat is being rocked these days. Wave after wave of temptation is hitting our young people and our children. And we need to bear them up. Just as Christ prayed for his disciples as they were in that storm, as our children go through the storm of life, we need to pray for them also. And so, I want to encourage each and every one of you to pray for our boys and girls. You know, pray for the children that we have in our Sunday school today, that they will know the Saviour. Pray for the ones who do know him, that they will grow in grace. And it's such an encouragement to myself and the other Sunday school teachers to see those who have gone on with God and are now in various ministries, various works, some even in Bible college, some in the ministry that we have previously taught in Sunday school. And so pray for them, and do pray for the ones in whom the seed was sown, but as yet it hasn't brought forth fruit. You know, lots of our children go through our Sunday schools, and yet they don't come to Christ. They go out into the world, and today they're far away from God. Do pray for them, that God will bring that seed to fruition that was sown many years ago. And so I appeal to you to make that time to pray for our Sunday school. You know, we have excellent teachers. I couldn't commend our teachers enough. They are fantastic. We have a great team of teachers. But you can have great teachers. We have great resources. We have great materials to teach the children with. And you can have them, and that's fantastic. We can be as organised as we can, and we do our best to be organised and structured, and we can do all that. But you know, I think there's nothing that will see the blessing of God upon our Sunday school than a praying congregation. Now, I believe if this congregation gets really behind us in the Sunday school and prayer, then there's no limit to what God can do for our children and our boys and girls. And so I'd like to ask you, if on a Sunday morning, while we're in Sunday school between 10:30 and 11:30, if you would take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever time you can afford, and just as Christ did, come apart and just pray for us in Sunday school. Just ask the Lord if he will work in each and every class. And I'm sure Andrew would appreciate it if he did the same thing when Youth Challenge is on a Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And I honestly believe in my heart that, you know, if we plead with God for our children, then he will do something wonderful, something great. Those great and mighty things that's mentioned on the wall behind us. Thank you very much for your time. Sorry if I ate into your time a little bit. Thank you.
After that exhortation of prayer, we certainly don't want to in any way clip the prayer meeting tonight. We want to get down soon. There's still a few things to share with you this evening, and we have a song or two to sing as well before we pray. I would like a little bit more time to bring the message, so it might be wise just to leave this message until the next time we are going to pray for the children's work. We're going to do it every month now. Can I thank you, Wesley, on behalf of the church tonight for coming and speaking to us, sharing the burden of your heart as our Sunday school superintendent. We trust that the Lord will bless you and the teachers and the ministry that you do. When we have the special night to pray, whenever you come to the prayer meeting, we're going to give you a little card like this. And it just really is for you to put, if you want, some names of your family members. And then we'll collect them and we'll read them out. And we'll say, please pray for this one, and so forth. And I know that a number of these will be children from our Sunday school. Some of them will be children who used to be in Sunday school. Pardon me, and they've drifted. And we just long in our hearts for the Lord to bring them back. We're going to sing 700. It's a beautiful hymn. It's one of my favourite children's hymns. It speaks about glory, heaven, the thousands of children that come to stand there, and how they come to stand there, how they get to heaven. Around the throne of God in heaven, thousands of children stand. Children whose sins are all forgiven. A holy, happy band. When you think of the words of the verses, and I think it will help you tonight as we come to pray later on, to really pray for the children that they might end up here. There's nothing that you can do better, parents, teachers, than to bring the children to heaven. You might bring them to many places in this world. You certainly bring them to school, you bring them to the shops, you bring them to activities that they're involved in, but nothing greater than by the grace of God to bring them to heaven by your witness. Let's sing the hymn together. Thank you. just to say to our Ukrainian friends, the sheet that you got with the notes, we were going to leave it till another time. Yep, you got that? Okay, good. But I want to read the passage that I speak on, and it's Deuteronomy chapter 11. Just in the simple reading of the Word of God, God will speak as His Word. Anything that we do thereafter by exposition or explaining is secondary. This is God's Word in its purity when we read it. And Deuteronomy, as you know, is the second edition of the law. And as Israel is about to take possession of the promised land, they need to know the conditions. They need to know the conditions of blessing. If you're going to be blessed in the promised land, here's the conditions. And so the law of God is given. And what is required is set before them. I'm going to read from verse 13. And we'll read to verse 25. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. And without comment, we'll leave it there. And we'll come back to it in the will of the Lord. So the next few slides are going to be very quick because it really was my outline. Okay, did you get it? No, that's okay. We have another hymn to sing, 713. It is a sing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. This, again, is very much in keeping with what has been talked about tonight and children's work. So we'll sing this hymn together. And later, before we pray, we'll sing that little verse that we've been singing this past couple. Okay, thank you. just before we sing it, let me say, it is a wonderful thing. Now, if you're singing about something wonderful, you ought not to have a dour face. All right, I don't know how dour translates into Ukrainian. Or a face like a Lurgan spade. All right, that's what they talk about. We ought to have the joy of the Lord. And we're all guilty. Okay, I'll put myself in there. And when you look back on the video and you see the people singing, I think there was an old saying, they've just enough Christianity to make them miserable. Well, Christianity should make us happy and joyful. So it is the thing most wonderful. And what is that? It's God's Son coming to the world to die for our sin. So with that, we'll stand to sing. Thank you. I think there was a little bit more joy, wasn't there? Sometimes I see people smiling up to the pulpit and I get very self-conscious. Are they smiling at me? Is there something wrong? And more than often, thankfully, it's not me. It's something else. But it's good to have the joy of the Lord in your heart and to be involved in God's work. We had a very good day on Monday at the Hebrew. See? That's even made you smile more. You should have been smiling greater with a hymn than this. So the Hebron Tots on Monday. And it's great to see the parents and the childminders bringing the little ones. We had a visit from Anna. and it's Gideon International, and they did a presentation and gave every adult a copy of the scriptures. And we've heard in testimonies how often these scriptures have been the means of bringing others to Christ. So that's something to pray about. Schools ministry on Wednesday brought Greg to Kilcrow. He's got his apron on. And it looks from the background that he's doing some baking. All right, you can see the flour and the egg, the nuts, the sugar and the milk. So I wasn't able to get, so he was doing that with an illustration, I'm sure. And the children seem to be just hanging on every word, so that's good. We have the opportunity tomorrow to go into Gary Duff. So remember, so we go there in the morning, pray for us that the Lord will make it a blessing, our visit there. I got something today that I've been looking for a long time. In fact, I got it last night. And that's this here. All right, we needed an accordion to bring to the southern part of Romania so that we can go out and use it outdoors, indoors, wherever the opportunity arises to be able to sing with the children. It's a very, very versatile instrument. And Pastor Emmanuel is going to try and learn this as well. Okay, so that he can use it when we're not there. So it'll get great use. And Liam, we thank you for the help getting it our direction and getting it thus far. So we're going to send it out on the pallet. We're not sending this on the pallet because it's already arrived. It arrived today as well. You remember the project? This is Pastor Bebe. And there is a company in Romania that provides a cow for poor families. But there is a condition, and that condition is that they're able to supply the pen and the shed for the cow to go into. And we made an appeal about that. We didn't say too much about it, but there was a man from upcountry who gave a contribution to pay for the pen and the cow shed. And so he's smiling there. He's very happy that this cow has arrived. I want you to pray for us. Two nights we will be in Romania. Just a very quick visit to visit current projects, visit poor families, and officially hand over the minivan keys to Pastor Bebe. And Stephen Laverty's coming with me. He heard there was a lot of food going to be eaten, all that Romanian food. And he says he'd love to go and sample it all. But he'll be coming. We will leave very, very early on Monday morning. The flight's at 25 past 6. We will arrive at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. A couple of flights to get there this time. And immediately we go to visit some of the poor families. In the evening we will be joining the men for a men's prayer meeting on Monday night. And then on Tuesday travelling a couple of hours to the area of Bezoe where the two churches are. So we will visit Pastor Bebe in the morning. We will see the projects, hand over the van officially. That van actually, he got it today. He got a cow today and he got the van today. But officially we will be handing it over. They had to do it today because the registration, the temporary registration that they had from the Netherlands ran out today. So they had to get it registered. And so we visit the other church in the afternoon, the evening of Tuesday. And then before coming home on Wednesday in the morning, we go to visit Stefan and his family just to see them. The Reverend and Mrs. Crane have arrived safely in Nepal, and they're going to spend some time doing conference ministry and other things there with the Reverend Paul Stapa. So please remember them at the throne of grace and prayer, and our sister that serves the Lord in that country who is from Northern Ireland. We have a prayer request from Dipankar, and we think of the area in India known as Manipur, and there's been a lot of persecution in India, we know that, but that has risen terribly during the month of May. This is a little bit from Open Doors, Christians killed and churches burned down, and violence in Manipur, India, response to a peaceful protest turned violent in Manipur, India, and Christians have been especially singled out for persecution, according to local Open Doors partner Vishnu. Here he explains how protests led to many Christians being killed and churches being burned down. At least 17 Christians have been killed and hundreds of churches and other Christian buildings destroyed in ethno-religious violence between ethnic groups in Manipur State in northeast India. More than 15,000 people, including many Christians, have been forced to flee their homes and are living in rescue camps. Some footage of the violence and arson have been shared via Open Doors local contacts. The situation is gruesome, says Neha, a partner with Open Doors in India. Houses and properties are still burning. We're asking the government of India to publicly condemn acts of violence such as this against Christian minorities in India. And there's a couple of reports, news articles that were sent. You can actually watch these videos of what is happening. And this one now is saying 36,655 people are displaced in ethnic violence and 1,700 houses have been destroyed. Churches have been burned in ethnic violence in Manipur, northeast India. Christians have been heavily victimized. So that's something I want you to pray about as well, not only tonight but in your quiet times. The supplies for Ukraine have gone out. This was something the Faith in Action did, and five vans were driven out there, and all this was delivered. So pray that it will be a blessing, and continue to pray for the land of Ukraine, that God will intervene. God has a time, God has a purpose in everything. We want things done yesterday. We want the war to stop today or in the near future. But, you know, God is sovereign, even in war. And we know that before our Savior comes, there will be war. Wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And therefore, there's appointed times. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray. We ought to pray, Lord, bring the war to an end. But all the timing and all the way that that will be done is in the hands of a God who is sitting upon a throne of authority and sovereignty. So pray for our friends here, that the Lord will bless them day by day. Remember those that have different health problems and need the touch of the Lord in their life. This is another hymn we could maybe sing at the end. We'll sing at the end after we pray. So we'll come back to that, because it is a prayer for our children. I'm going to have a wee word of prayer now, and then I'm going to give you some prayer requests, and then we're going to get down to the business of prayer, remembering our children tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that was seen tonight. Thank you for Wesley's report. Thank you for the work that our superintendent and the teachers do week by week. Think of all the preparation, all the study time that is put in just so that on Sunday morning these children can be taught the Word of God. And we know that your Word will never return unto you void and empty. It's always accomplishing. It's always prospering. And God has a great purpose in His Word as it goes forth, especially, we know, into the hearts of children. And we pray for the children that you will bless them. And as we have our special season of prayer tonight for them, Lord, direct our way and give us a great time in the house of God, in the presence of God, as we intercede on their behalf. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the prayer requests, and if you want to add to this, Wesley, Andrew, if you want to add to it, please do. The conversion and growth in grace for the children that belong to this church. So this, we're praying for the Sunday school tonight, we're praying for all the children's ministry in the church. For the protection of our children in school. For Wesley, our Sunday school superintendent. For Andrew, our youth challenge coordinator. The Sunday school teachers and the children's workers. Then there's this special Meet the Parents on Sunday the 20th of May. We pray that they will stay, come in, and that our teachers will get to know them. Children's Day and the Sunday school camp, all still to happen in June and then in August. Summer Youth Challenge in August. the ministry on a Monday morning with the Hebron Tots and the school's ministry. Now, you can pray for our own school, but we have one Thursday night that's devoted to that. So I'm thinking particularly here the outreach ministry into the schools that the Lord has opened up for us. So we say good night to those that are tuned in with us on Sermon Audio, Facebook and YouTube. Thank you for joining us, being part of this meeting tonight. And we come to prayer now, and you can go to prayer also.